The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out, because all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Be seated, Mark. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isaiah chapter 43, 1 through 3 from our opening sentences in this morning's service. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Fear is a funny thing. If you think about it, fear really comes from two things. Fear of what we don't know what will happen, and fear of what we do know what will happen. For example, there's a lot of people out there that put off going to see a doctor because they fear what he or she may say. We are afraid of what will happen or not happen if we are told there is an issue. On the other hand, I know exactly what will happen if I roll in here on a Sunday morning without a service prepared, a sermon written, or a Bible study ready to go. That fear is a great motivator to make sure that it never happens. The people of Israel have great reason to fear. They should be very afraid. See, in the preceding chapters of Isaiah's book, the Lord is angry. Isaiah is speaking to the people and he's letting them know just how angry the Lord is with them for the way that they have been living, in particular, their rejection of him. Listen to these words from Isaiah chapter 42. "Hear, you deaf, look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one committed to me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but have paid no attention. Your ears are open, but hear nothing. Who handed Jacob over to become loot, and Israel to the plunderers? Was it not the Lord, against whom we have sinned? For they would not follow his ways. They did not obey his law. So he poured out on them his burning anger, the violence of war. It enveloped them in flames, yet they did not understand. It consumed them, but they did not take it to heart." See, Isaiah is making the point here that the people have become spiritually blind and deaf, and it is the Lord that has brought violence upon them in the past because of their actions. And he is once again announcing that their deafness and blindness is about to overtake them. Sounds to me like they have plenty to fear. But instead of the prophet speaking as he did in chapter 42, 43 opens with the Lord himself speaking to the people. Now, one would expect that he comes to announce his righteous judgment upon the people. After all, the people most certainly deserved it. God would be completely justified in meting out that judgment. By nature, all humans on earth, like Israel, are spiritually blind and deaf, actual enemies of God, deserving God's judgment, and in reality, expecting nothing else. But then something else happens. The chapter opens with the words, "But now." See, these quickly become words of love from the Lord and not from the prophet. We know this because the Lord goes on to explain that he has created all things. He is the one that created the people Israel. He is the one that chose them above all the peoples on the earth. And he did it because he loved them. It was not the people and their actions that caused the Lord to love them in this way. It was the Lord's love. The Lord loved them because he simply wanted to. Because of this, he says, "Fear not." I'm sure the people are thinking, "Really? I think we have every good reason to be afraid, especially what you've just said to us." But the Lord lays out three very compelling reasons why there is no need for the people to be afraid. First, the Lord says, "I have redeemed you." Now, these wonderful words of comfort would first apply to the nation as they languished in slavery in Egypt. Now, while the Ten Commandments movie portrays so many of the people as faithful Israelites, the reality is that most of them probably didn't really know who Yahweh was, what he had done for their forefathers, and the covenant that he had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had become blind and deaf to the Lord, and yet he redeemed them from slavery. He did it. He chose to rescue them despite the fact that their worship had diminished to almost nothing. But even so, he called this group of people his special possession. Because of the Lord, they then grew into a great nation. But we see here that their spiritual deafness and blindness has returned. The call from Isaiah is that the Babylonians would come and destroy the nation and take many of them captive. It would not happen for nearly a century later. But this captivity that the Lord is in these words is telling the people to fear not, for he would redeem them. He would buy them back. He would purchase them from the Babylonians, just as a redeemer buys his kinsmen from bondage. Perhaps the most recognizable place that we see this play out in the Old Testament is the story of Ruth and Naomi. Poor, destitute, and having no way out, Ruth relies on Boaz to be her kinsman redeemer, to buy her back to his family, thus restoring Naomi and Ruth. Among all the Israelites in captivity, who were still deaf and blind to the Lord, a few faithful remained and cherished these comforting words from the Lord. In the troubled time of captivity, these words held comfort of the presence of the Lord, but they also held a hope of a greater spiritual redemption for the people. Reading these words so many thousands of years later, they too hold comfort for us. Like the people languishing in the bondage in Babylonia, we too are held captive by our sins. The sinful nature that we all carry with us can do nothing but blind us and cause us to be deaf when it comes to the Lord. All it can do is outright reject the Lord. Like the ancient people, death and destruction is all that awaits. But we too have a redeemer. The Lord himself redeems us from sin and death. He bought us back. But unlike the gentle negotiation that took place with Boaz at the city gate to buy back Ruth, the Lord paid for us with his life. The price for us was his spilt blood and broken body. Jesus was nailed to the cross and endured the pain and agony that we deserved for our sin. And in so, he pays our price. When our Lord cries from the cross, "It is finished," it is finished. The purchase was complete. By faith in his actions on our behalf, we are forgiven of our sins, even the sins of spiritual deafness and blindness that seem to come so easy to us at times. Because we have been redeemed, that is, bought with a price, we now belong to the Lord. So then the second reason that the people do not to be afraid is that the Lord says, "You are mine." Not might be or will be. He says, "You are mine now." They are his. We are all his. He has claimed us to be his own, not because of who we are, but because he has chosen us through his Son. And the third reason that there is no reason to be afraid is that he calls us by name. Perhaps the easiest way for us to see this is in the waters of baptism. He calls us by name in those precious waters. As the water combined with the Word of God pours over us, we become part of his family. We rise from those waters a brand new child of God. These things are so important to us today, because we live in a world and a nation that is increasingly abandoning the Lord. If you've been paying any attention at all, you know that we are getting knee-deep into a very unusual election this year. So much is at stake, they tell us, and perhaps that's true. But then they tell us, "Only this person can save our nation." And then the other side says, no, "Only this person can save our nation." And soon secular politicians begin to be framed as messianic figures and our only hope of some type of salvation. It can be overwhelming. So listen again to the Lord. "Fear not. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." Armed with these promises, we, like the ancient people of Israel, face many difficulties in our lives. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames will not consume you." We read how the people crossed the Red Sea, escaping Egypt, and the people would once again cross the Jordan on their way back to Judah. For the returning captives, the Lord lets them know that the trip home would not be easy. Neither would life be easy upon return. Fire and water represent all the dangers that they would face, both in captivity and in Judah. As we too face danger, strife, rejection, remember the words of the Lord. "Fear not." These short verses from Isaiah reveal the past, present, and future of Judah and even all of us in this single composite picture that stretches from creation until the final day. For the exodus from Egypt and Babylon is a foretaste of the greatest exit that will come when our Lord returns. And between creation and that last day, our loving Lord reminds us of his gracious protection. "Fear not. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. For I, the Lord your God, the Holy One, your Savior, am."